Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. All right. Good morning, everyone. I'm Maria Finch. I'm an inner intelligence coach. I am thrilled to have Golden Duffy with me here today. Welcome, Golden.
Thank you. Hello. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, great. So to start out with, tell us a bit about you.
So I actually have a podcast called Manifest to Live Life Golden. I've written two books and I'm super interested in mind stuff. Like mind training to me is probably the number one thing that actually helps us to create the life that we want to live. If you just let your mind have its way with you, you're going to be a victim to that mind and you're never actually going to be a very powerful creator. So I was really excited when I saw your podcast because I thought, What a cool way, first of all, to address it as mind cluck. I actually grew up with chickens. So I think my grandfather had a farm of 10,000 chickens and my dad was actually an egg salesman. So I think the chicken thing really spoke to me. And when you think about like when I would walk into that barn of 10,000 chickens, first of all, we weren't allowed to wear red because red would drive them crazy.
Okay.
The noise, like that chatter that you know, walking is so loud. And if you allow your mind to do that on a daily basis, you know, moment to moment, you're never going to have peace. So being able to train the mind, I think, is one of the biggest things in personal development that a lot of people may miss.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And going back to chickens, the reason why I have a chicken on my logo is because I just think of chickens as like, and the goal is to get to owl brain. So it's like, you're relaxed. You can look 360 degrees. You understand what's going on. So that's my contrast is go from chicken brain to owl brain.
I love that.
Yeah, thank you. So tell us about a time in your life when you were facing a lot of mind cluck.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So about 7 years ago, we made a really strong decision to move from Connecticut on the East Coast to California on the West Coast. It's about a over 3,000 mile trip. We had only visited California once and fell in love. It was like a desire in my heart that I still to this day can't totally explain. Just knew that there was something here for us. And I'm very blessed to have a husband that kind of came on board. And so as we were selling everything we owned, as we were booking plane tickets, as we were telling our children at the time we have four, but at the time there's only two living with us. They were 12 and 14. So you had to deal with their issues of leaving, you know, the only home they've ever known. We both had lived there at that point, you know, upwards of 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So every day it was, you know, selling furniture that I had to let go of because we really didn't take anything. We came here with only the things I could put in my car.
Wow. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and a suitcase on the plane. That was it. So it was letting go of everything we ever knew. That mind cluck every day was the fears and is it going to work out? And, you know, our credit, we had no home lined up because we didn't exactly know where we wanted to live. We wanted
to see
what energy was like. No jobs. My husband's a general contractor, so he knew he could build out here, but we couldn't make connections from there. So it was literally a huge leap of faith.
Yeah, that's amazing. So going back in time and thinking about, can you give us some examples of like you get up in the morning and you're facing selling something that you really care about, or you're saying like, am I crazy to be making this change? What was going through your mind? And then what helped you silence that?
So yes, throughout selling things, I mean, I sold things from my childhood. And I'm actually estranged from my family. So letting go of those pieces, I think, was an important part of my healing. Just letting go of energy, like old energy. And I knew my home in California would be totally different. We lived in a 1900s house with old, you know, antiques. I mean, I was letting go of antiques that I loved so much. But I knew they weren't going to be the same. So I had actually met a woman who I was doing yoga with. I was actually doing some dancing with her just to like release energy because I was grieving each piece of furniture.
Oh, of course.
Plus grieving friends and family.
Yeah,
you know, that sure. We were. So every day it was like my go-to, of course, always is meditation. I always have a quieting the mind practice in place every single day. I never really let that go. So for 20 minutes, I would just quiet my mind. And then it was walking through interrupting the fears. So fear would pop up. Our greatest saying in our house is everything always works out for me.
So, oh, yeah. I love that. That's so good.
And one of our greatest fears was our credit scores because we were actually in foreclosure with our house in 2009 when all of this stuff went down. My husband's building had come to kind of a standstill. So we had been in foreclosure for a few years. So we were facing not knowing if they were going to take the house, you know, and that whole thing. And our credit scores were really bad. So coming to California, I hear about how it's really hard. And this is the other thing about mind stuff. When you're thinking about something, people will reflect it to you. So as I'm thinking here, it's like, oh, is our credit score going to be enough? Someone will tell me, oh, it's really competitive in California. Like the rentals are so competitive. So that was like something that weighed on me. And I actually had a really good friend who was somewhat psychic. And she told me, your credit scores aren't going to matter. So I carried that with me. Like our credit scores aren't going to matter. And they didn't. They actually didn't. We had to pay a couple hundred dollars extra to move into where we moved into. But not having like a home or a place to land is very ungrounding. Like,
yeah, of course.
You're completely a mess. Like you don't know where you're going to end up. You don't know what your home's going to be like. You don't know, you know, what your kids' schools are going to be like. So there was a lot of unknowns that could take me out. So I had a really strong yoga practice, a really strong meditation practice. And then it was my husband and I consistently reassuring each other, you know, when one was down, it was the other one that was up. And we did that for years moving here, just being there for each other. And then when, once we got here, the biggest thing is we would go to the sunset every day because the sunset, just, you know, in the Pacific Ocean, that's why we were here. Would just kind of calm us and settle us when we were in our biggest fears. When there was one month that we didn't have the rent and we were like scrambling to figure that out. So there was a lot of transition, but I think the biggest thing is if you can get a hold of that beginning thought process, because once you start thinking in fear, you're going to create a bunch of it. And then, you know, it's
so
momentum.
True.
Yeah.
Right. That's so true. So you just gave me a ton of information. I have so many questions. So first off, for our listeners who may have tried meditation and thought, ugh, or may be thinking like, no, I can't imagine doing that. What's your suggestion for starting out with meditation?
I love challenges in meditation. It was so funny. I was just with a friend this weekend and I said, do you meditate? And she was like, what? Huh? What are you talking about? And it's so funny because her mind is like a squirrel, you know, I call it a squirrel on crack. And that's what an untrained mind is. So first you have to just get over the belief that you can't meditate. I've met so many people that say they can't meditate. And I said, well, first of all, it's like building muscles at the gym.
Yeah.
You have to train it. You have to work with it. It's a practice. So if you sat down and you tried to quiet your mind, you're going to give up because the first thing the mind's going to do is go spastic.
Totally. Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
So there's things, the two things our mind loves to do is keep us the same and keep us safe.
Right.
So if we start doing something that disengages from that control the mind has over us, it's going to kick up even more. So that squirrel is going to be on crack. It's just going to go crazy. Uh-huh. So one thing I talk about, I've taught hundreds of people to meditate. So I know I've never met anyone that can't, honestly.
Oh, that's great.
It's amazing. So I actually have a group on Facebook called M21 Revolution, and we throw out 21-day challenges. It's a free group, and then we do donation-based challenges. And the thing that we've taught people is, you know, your mind's going to do what your mind's going to do. It's never going to stop. It just it's the mechanism of the mind. But if you can give it something to engage with, either a mantra or a guided meditation, I'm really big on guided, or if you can do some breath work to help clear the mind first, you're going to be better off. And then the other thing I say is do some dumping, you know, journal beforehand.
Yeah, right.
And get all those to-do lists out. And then I had a meditation teacher. I've been meditating for like 20 years. And she told me, if you can think about yourself as the sun, which is perfect because my name is Golden. So I
love that name.
And your thoughts are just the clouds, right? So especially ones that create misery. So if you can think about that, and every time a thought comes, you just shine your light brighter and you just focus on the sun, then the clouds will move away. And so you're not necessarily fighting your thoughts. You're just releasing them every time they come. And the more you do that, the more blissful it becomes. And then eventually you won't miss your practice because it will be the peace that you're looking for. And it will kind of bleed into every area of your life.
Yeah, I so agree with that. I'll say, think of like a stock ticker tape, and your thoughts are just going by, and they're just going to keep going by and going by, but they don't actually have to do anything to you. Like, that's one way to look at it. Another thing that I love about meditation is that if you get into meditation and your mind starts going somewhere, you can change the direction. So instead of focusing on a fear, a worry, whatever, just start to like tap into your imagination. Like, our imaginations are so amazing. And so you could be like, oh, I'm really worried that I can't get this particular task done. And then instead say, okay, now I'm going to picture myself in a crown with a cape on getting this thing done. Like, why not? You know? And then you're giving yourself energy. Like, I love the imagination. It's so powerful. So I really believe in like engaging the imagination when it just won't stop clucking at you.
I love that idea. That is such, and that's actually, so one of the other things I teach is like frequency. So you're putting yourself in a different energy field, a different frequency, and then you're going to actually have the energy to do what you need to do instead of putting all that energy into anxiety. So I love that. That is so smart.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. So one thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is that their thoughts actually are mind cluck versus like constructive thoughts. Yes. What do you recommend about that? Like, what's your sort of, how do you suggest to people that they recognize mind cluck as mind cluck? Because I think that's step one. It's so important.
Yes, it's true. And we have 60,000 thoughts a day, and most of them are from yesterday. Like, we only have 10%, I think, of new thinking per day. So if you can recognize a thought, and especially the emotion under the thought, because the emotion is actually what is creating. So that emotion is energy in motion. So if you can look at a thought, I always say awareness means nothing. You can be aware of your thoughts all you want. You can be aware of how they make you feel. What you have to do is you have to have enough space. That's why meditation is so important, because if you're too in your head, we see people all the time that are just in their heads. Like, they don't even see the outside world. They're just, you know, their heads are down. They're focused on the to-do list and nothing else matters. So you're not available for a different emotion. So when you have that space through meditation, then you can look at that thought and you can say, do I have to think about this right now?
Right. Or do I have to think this at all?
At all. Ever. Yeah. Right? Right. And I also love to tell people, like, think about, like, I loved what you just said about the worry thought and then picturing yourself in a cape. That's taking what you don't want to happen and it's focusing on what you do want to happen. So I always say, if you ask yourself, is this what I want to happen? Am I focused? Like, what do I want is a great question. Because then that will help you to fuel your thoughts in the direction of wanted versus unwanted. Because we've all been trained to focus on, you know, what's your plan B if plan A doesn't work? You know, what's the worst case scenario? We need to prepare for the worst case scenario.
Right.
That has trained us to be a society of people who are in worry mode and anxieties and fears instead of, oh, everything's going to work out for us.
Yeah. It's so true. I mean, so being human, I experience mind cluck every day, and I will catch myself thinking like, oh gosh, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. Whatever. This is going to suck. But if I start going, oh, you know what? Actually, no. Okay. I hear you. Like, somebody, you know, some part of my mind is saying, oh, this terrible thing is going to happen. And I'm just going to go, no, it isn't. It's going to be fine. And when I can do that, then I stop worrying. And then usually it is fine.
It always is fine, really. It's like whatever's happening, we take it very seriously. And I think we take it even more seriously because of what we're envisioning, what we're sending out, you know, that imagination is going towards all the terrible things that could happen. And how often do you hear people say, oh, I don't want to be late. I don't want to be sick. I don't want, instead of saying, I want to be healthy. I want to be on time. I intend to be on time. Like those are the things that are going to fuel your life in the direction of where you want to go versus the constant anxiety and stress that you're living, which actually just puts out more unwanted, more reasons to be late, more reasons to be sick.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So for somebody who is facing some kind of major life challenge, doesn't matter what it is, what would you, based on your own experience with this giant move and heading into the unknown and everything, what are some other practices that you would recommend to try and like rein all that in so that you can keep moving forward with good energy and feeling excited? I mean, of course, you're still going to feel worried sometimes, but like you want to keep your momentum going. So yeah. What else would you share about how to tackle that?
So I love imagination. I love visualizing. That's one thing that I do at the end of my practice every day is I visualize what I'm looking to create. And then it's just a practice of, you know, moving through your day and being really conscious and mindful of where your mind is. Because if your mind is in a place of, you know, like I say, like this constant to-do list. I think the to-do list, it's cracking me up right now because we have this constant to-do list. We don't feel good enough unless we check off things off our list. And then we get up the next day and there's more things on the list. It's a never ending to-do list. It is not a joyful way to live. Right.
Yeah, that's true. That's so true. I was actually thinking about my to-do list today. So I want to hear what you're going to say next.
It's never ending. It's like a big joke. It's an illusion to think that we are only enough if we get enough done, that we are only good enough if we're accomplishing things. That's where this, you know, the doing comes in, you know, societal programming of if you're not doing anything, then you're lazy, right? Like we've all been programmed to go to school and go to college and get a job and pay your bills. And where does it end? Right.
Exactly. doing instead of being.
Yes. So I think one thing, meditation, but also mixed in with mindfulness. Now I'm getting really intense with my mindfulness of, you know, even when we're with family members or loved ones, are we really being mindful of their presence? You know, I can bypass my kids pretty easily if I've got a lot to do during my day instead of taking the time to engage and smile and hug, you know, really connect with people. I think our to-do list is causing a lot of disconnection. So in that to-do list, it's asking yourself, okay, first of all, what is going to bring me the most joy today? No one's asking this question.
You know? Yeah, that's so true.
Right? Because we don't think we deserve it. It's not about joy. It's about making money. It's about paying bills. And it's like at the end of your life, is that really the way you want to conduct? Or would you rather just kind of settle in? And everybody's got to go to work. I get that. We all need money. I get that.
Sure.
But if we can be more mindful of the practices during the day that are actually going to fuel our passions, that are going to bring us excitement, that are going to actually fulfill part of our dreams, then we're going to feel at the end of the day, we're going to feel more settled, more peaceful, because we're actually working towards something that's not just the never-ending to-do list and checking things off of it.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. So what do you have exercises that you do to help you you not focus on your to-do list?
Oh, I'm so guilty of it.
I mean, we all are. It's impossible.
Yeah. So I have a practice in the morning that I get up super early. So I get up at like 4 a.m. I actually write 3 pages every day. And that came from The Artist's Way. And I've never read The Artist's Way, but I just read Julia Cameron's life story, which is called Floor Sample. And I fell in love with it. And I have 3 different books that I'm writing right now. And I wasn't getting to them. And that makes me feel like I'm not living my fulfillment. Mm-hmm. So every day I get up at 4 a.m. and I write 3 pages like that. It takes me 20 minutes. Yeah. I now have over 90 pages that I've written in the last month. Uh-huh. These different projects. I just kind of get up and decide which one I want to work on.
Yeah.
So that makes me feel like if I did nothing today, I did that. So that
makes sense.
So I would say creativity first thing. If you can get your creativity in the morning, that's when you're the freshest. Mm-hmm. That's when you have less emails coming in, less people to talk to. My house mm-hmm. is super quiet. Mm-hmm. So I love that. And then I go to the gym and work out because that's mm-hmm. my serotonin levels. That's my getting myself in a good headspace. Mm-hmm. And then I go for a walk. Like this is all because I get up really early.
Yeah.
30 minutes in nature. I cannot.
Yeah.
More. I started it a month ago and it has literally transformed. It's part of my meditation practice, I think, where you are, and I work to be really mindful and present. So I'm just with birds. Like I'm just
yelling
at people, but I'm mostly in the woods. So there's not a lot of people out in the morning, which is great. Uh-huh. And then I come home and I meditate. So that's kind of my foundation.
Wow. That's impressive. That's that's a pretty significant practice.
And I think the only reason why I get it done is I go to bed at 9 o'clock. I get up at 4. That's mm-hmm. the only reason. And mm-hmm. when you think about nighttime, and if you're a night owl, this may not appeal to you, but like at night, I'm just watching TV. It's not really productive time. Yeah. So I'm okay with shaving time off my night to get up early and have that precious time to work on the things that are really important to me.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And so you've talked a little bit about energy, and I know I'm also somebody, I read energy. I love energy. I think energy is fabulous. So I'd love to hear, you know, give us some thoughts on energy. And for somebody where I think it's really could be relevant to our audience is when you wake up in the morning and your energy feels off mm-hmm. and you don't feel great and you're kind of like, not looking forward to this day.
Yep.
What do you do?
So before I step foot out of bed, I actually think about what I'm grateful for. And I just do mm-hmm. a couple of things. Usually it's my husband, you know, it's just my family, my beautiful home. And I'll just kind of go through gratitude because appreciation and love are like our highest vibration. So if we mm-hmm. can in those energy fields, I also pop out of bed. Most people don't do this. Uh-huh. I don't have a snooze button. I don't do uh-huh. snoozing because I feel like snoozing has a connection to I don't want to face life and I don't want to get up that way. So I also don't think it's good to fall back to sleep for 10 minutes. I mean, right, and things, you're just going to be more tired.
Right.
So I don't snooze. My alarm goes off. I get up within like 60 seconds, I'm out of bed. So that mm-hmm. just tells the day I'm excited and I'm ready. I'm a little bit, you know, I love my workouts. I love my writing. There's a lot of things that I'm doing that I love. So I think if you don't have anything that you love in your life, you've got to start creating the time to do stuff that you love because that's where passion's going to be, ideas, and you're going to feed that energy field instead of dread for your day.
That's such a good point. I just want to add on to there, like for anybody listening, if you don't have something that you're looking forward to doing when you get out of bed, create something. Think of something that would make you excited to get out of bed and add that into your life, whatever that might be. And even if you are a night owl and you're getting out of bed at noon, like who cares? Doesn't matter. It's just when you're getting out of bed. Yeah. Yep.
This is easily. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So sorry, you were going to go on.
I was going to say like sending our lives dread is a great way to first slow down energy. So when we dread, we're actually slowing the energy field down. When mm-hmm. we dread, we're not sending like excitement to our future. We're not sending good energy to our future. It's the same thing like with people. Like if you worry about people, you're sending them worry, which is the opposite of what you want to send. Mm-hmm. So I always think of just wrapping people in love or wrapping them in angels. Like I just do that to keep my mm-hmm. mind from going anywhere into worry. And like my day, if I get up and I feel like, okay, today is going to be filled with energy. Today's going to, like, that's why I work mm-hmm. out. That's why I go in nature. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff's going to give me energy back mm-hmm. and make me feel like I have some control over my life. You know, even if I had a full-time job, I could do this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I forget what I was going to mention about you. You were talking about sending dread. There was another point I wanted to make about that. It's just really like the energy field is ripe and ready for whatever you want to send it. And whatever you're sending it is what you're getting back from it. So being really mindful of, okay, if I'm getting up and I'm off and I'm not feeling great today, what can I do to begin my day to shift that? And most of the time it's about what do I want to happen versus what do I don't want to happen. So if I don't want to go to work, what little things can I focus on about work that I actually like? Maybe there's maybe it's the way I get to dress, or you know, maybe I need to get dressed up to feel better about going to work. There's things to do to shift energy by going, what do I love about work? What do I love about my boss? Like, who does that, right?
No, that's so true. I think like for listeners, a way to shift your mind this way is think about if your best friend felt this way, what would you tell them to do? And think about, you know, you can think about being sort of your own ideal mother or ideal parent or ideal whatever kind of figure. So somebody who's providing comfort to you and who's going to kind of give you that big hug and make you feel okay and say like, okay, here, why don't you have a hot chocolate and, you know, whatever that's going to just make you feel a little better so that you're ready to take the next step.
I love that. I mean, even just presence with your coffee or your tea or whatever you're doing in the morning, just be really present and smelling it and just taking in that experience would help you shift it because you're taking a break from the anxiety and stress. If we give ourselves a little bit of room, the room equals decision. Then we get to decide what we're going to think about next.
Yeah, that's good.
I love that.
Yeah. And, you know, gratitude is really great. I have gotten like, there's a part of me where I'm like, oh, gratitude, write a gratitude journal, wherever, whatever, where it's like very mainstream and whatever. And what I found for myself is that what I do is I literally just, I talk out loud. I'm not embarrassed to do that. And I'll just say, I love my dog. I love this person. I love that person. And I just keep going until I feel better. And it works every time. It's amazing.
I love what you said about the parenting. It really is like a self-soothing thing. It's like, how do I soothe myself to feel a little bit better? Talking about what you love in life, you know, whether it's internal or external, I'll do things like, oh, that's so satisfying. I'll think about what's satisfying to me. I just love my coffee in the morning. That's so satisfying. I'm like alone. The house is quiet. That's so satisfying, you know, and then you just kind of let it build from there.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think it's like, it's kind of putting yourself on a path. So you wake up, you feel like crap and you're like, let's shift this path. I don't think I want to be on this path today. Let's pick a different one.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah. So what else? Tell us other things that are regular practices for you. I'm guessing you have a bazillion of them.
I mean, the journaling, like when you're faced with something that's really traumatic, I always say when you have like an intense negative emotion, that is an invitation to heal something. So I have a journaling practice and I ask myself what I'm feeling. I ask myself where it came from, what, and then I kind of talk myself through that process of my negativity because you know, it's great to think positive. It's great to talk positive. But if you don't really feel it, you're going to create from what's really going on underneath. So we can push it down. We can put food on top of it. We can shop on top of it. But if we don't get to the basis of what our traumas are, what our triggers are, we're going to continue to create energetically from them. So I love to journal. I love that process of going, okay, what am I feeling right now? Where does this come from? And is it really true? Because
such a good question. Yeah.
Usually it's not true.
Right. Know? Exactly.
When I get to the fact that it's not true, then I journal what is true. Well, I'm doing really well. I've actually made a lot of progress in my life. I have this great podcast, or I'll just talk about the ways that I have really healed a lot of that trigger and trauma. And then I have a pretty fast process now because I do it as stuff comes up. I don't wait. Because I find that waiting just ends up in rage.
I'm a makes sense, because the part of you that is not being attended to will get angry and be like, why? I'm right here. I'm giving you the signs. Why aren't you listening? Why aren't you helping this out?
And you know, you'll be walking through your day and like, I felt fine. And then somebody did that and I flipped out. And you're like, well, because you weren't really dealing with what you were really feeling.
Yeah.
And so I think that deeper stuff is really the most important. If we're going to create a really fantastic life, you have to deal with that stuff in order to heal it. And I have 4 daughters, by the way. So
wow.
Yeah, we've got to process a lot of emotion in our house. If we're not having this stuff, we're in trouble, you know?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I agree with you. I talk about layers of mind cluck. So I think like you can have some mind cluck going on just in the moment where you're just kind of like, oh, this is pissing me off, whatever.
Yep.
But when something keeps coming back around, so it keeps presenting itself in different ways and it's kind of the same message, you're like, wait a minute, there's something deeper that I got to figure out. And when you heal those deeper things, that mind cluck goes away. Or you get really good at like the moment it crops up, you're like, oh, no, I know exactly what that is. And we healed it. It's okay. Let's move on.
Yeah, because you're like your neural pathways are in a repetitive pattern.
Exactly.
And also, your emotions are addictive because we have chemicals and hormones that download when we have emotion. Mm-hmm. I know lots of people that are addicted to drama. So I don't want to be addicted to drama. So I'm recognizing, you know, which emotions that I might connect with that will create feelings in me that I no longer want to feel. So I can go into like resentment's a big one. As a mom, resentment's a big one, right? I gave up resentment a long time ago. When it resurfaces, I ask myself, okay, first of all, am I overgiving? Because
it's
a big one for me, because I have tended to love from the lack of love that I got as a child. So I overlove my kids, right?
I understand. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I resent them for taking advantage of me. It's hysterical. Uh-huh. So once I realize that, now if a little thing of resentment comes up, I can deal with it and I can say, do I want more of this? So any emotion, you can ask yourself, do I want more of this? Do I want to feel more resentful? Do I want more things coming into my life to resent? Or do I want to let this go? And now I'm very, very aware and able to release that. But that's a practice as much as mind training is, for sure. That's not like a day one thing you're going to be able to do. You have to deal with the underlying stuff first.
Yeah, I totally agree. So we have like sped through our time together, and I feel like we could talk for a very long time. So is there anything that you would like to tell our audience about? One last thing you'd like to tell our audience before we sign off?
I think, you know, just realize that you have the power to create your life and that you do have the power over your thoughts and your emotions once you start a practice of quieting that mind. Because if you don't, you're always going to be a victim to whatever the mind wants to do to keep you safe and the same. So a practice, a meditation practice, I think is the most life-changing thing I've ever seen people do. Yeah. 3 to 4 days and you will start to notice a massive difference in your life. And it's not anything that should be judged. You know, if you go into your practice and you think you were thinking the whole time, you really weren't. There were breaks of thought that you may not have been aware of. Uh-huh. And it gets better over time. You're never going to like crush it completely. I still have thoughts 20 years later.
Yeah, of course. Probably the Dalai Lama even does.
Totally. And it's just the practice of continually coming back to releasing the hold that the mind has over you. And I promise you that that one thing will do so much for you that, you know, to me, it's like something that I would never live without. It's like brushing my teeth. That's how it's become in my life. It's an automatic behavior. And your life will just, you'll just be more thoughtful and more mindful over where you're spending your time, where you're putting your attention, and how everything makes you feel. And when you train your mind, you absolutely can create your life.
That is a perfect place for us to wrap up. I love that. Thank you, Golden. Thank you so much for being on here. What a wonderful conversation.
Thank you for having me. That was awesome.
Yeah. All right. So to our audience, thanks so much for tuning in, and we will see you next time. Take care, everyone.
Peace.
Bye. Bye.
's for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clucking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.